This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
It started 2 years ago with marijuana cigarettes.
They're trying to sell this new big business.
All you do is smoke weed.
You know, it is like the best medicine.
Nobody dies from marijuana.
You know what I do got, though, man? I got a joint, man.
Dopest dope I've ever smoked.
This normal.
Getting high in Michigan has certainly changed over the past few years. For decades, it was outright illegal, and then it became legal for medical reasons. Soon, it could be legal just for fun. A number of groups seeking to legalize cannabis in Michigan are working to get ballot proposals on the 2016 ballot. Michigan Public Radio Lansing reporter Jake Neer is here with us now to help us kick off our series of conversations about high times in Michigan. Good to see you with us, Jake.
Thanks for having me on, Cindy.
Jake, you've been covering the marijuana issue in Michigan for some time. How did you become the go-to person for marijuana?
You know, I have absolutely no idea. I think, like a lot of things, these things stem from looking into one issue, specifically a long-form piece, and sort of developing the sources. And that's just what happened here. I stayed in touch with a lot of people who were involved after doing one individual piece about medical marijuana in Michigan and the bills in the legislature that advocates have been trying to get through for years now that have been stalled in one way or another ever since. It just sort of happened.
And it is complicated and convoluted because there are so many stakeholders in this ever-changing story.
Yes.
Well, Michigan is kind of where Colorado was a few years ago, and we know marijuana is legal there. Give us kind of a history lesson, if you will, how Michigan went from pot is illegal for any and all purposes to, well, cannabis is okay for certain medical conditions, to the potential of being legal for recreational purposes.
Well, there was a ballot drive back in 2008 that established the Medical Marijuana Act in Michigan, and it was just a group of grassroots activists and a lot of pot enthusiasts involved as well, and people who have been involved in politics in Michigan for a long time, especially on this single issue, who came together and felt that there was a change in public opinion that would allow for medical marijuana to be palatable for the general public here in Michigan. And, you know, I think Michigan came along around the same time as a lot of other states with that. And that trend has just continued until today that, you know, it's gone from medical marijuana being the big issue to now legalization. The dominoes are starting to fall after states like Colorado and Washington first legalized, and now we're seeing others like Oregon and Alaska following suit. Here in Michigan, we're now seeing polling above 50%, and it's been gradually rising steadily for a number of years. You know, we'll see what happens, but there are three groups that think that the writing's on the wall and that they want to get in on it as soon as possible.
Yeah, we're going to actually have you kind of spell those different ones out a little bit later.
Sure.
But I'm kind of interested. It seems that the process that we're seeing in Michigan pretty much mirrors what we saw in Colorado and Washington. Is that pretty much the way it plays out?
Well, I think the big difference is just all the struggle to be the group that makes the ballot and that gets approved. I believe, and I'm not an expert in exactly what happened in Colorado and Washington, but I believe that there was more cohesion there. Whereas here in Michigan, we are seeing very distinct splits. Like I said, three different groups looking to do this. One group is mostly made of activists, and the other two are made mostly of Oakland County Republicans who traditionally have been anti-marijuana, and a lot of divisions even within these groups about what direction to go. So the conversation isn't necessarily whether or not to legalize marijuana for these groups. It's how do we do it, and then what kind of system do we set up so that we don't run into major problems or so that we can cash in on this?
Before we look ahead to what might be on the November 2016 ballot, let's look back a little to Michigan's medical marijuana law. It is legal for medicinal purposes in Michigan, but there has been back and forth and debate about that and general confusion about this law. Tell us about that.
Well, a couple of the biggest things, and going back to this legislation that I mentioned before, is that since the law was approved by voters, there have been a number of court cases that activists would say have sort of eroded the protections of the law, that the courts have interpreted a number of portions of the law as not offering protections for things like provisioning centers, aka dispensaries, and also for patients that use edible or other non-smokable forms of marijuana. Right now, because of, I believe, a court of appeals decision, there are no protections for people using anything other than smoking marijuana. These are things that have sparked legislation that have not passed. As things play out in the courts, sometimes it's not that the law becomes more clear, it gets more and more ambiguous about what is allowed and what protections actually are out there. It doesn't seem like the legislature has responded necessarily to try to clarify these things.
So we've got that kind of murkiness going on in the courts and legislature not responding. Earlier this month, a medical marijuana dealer from Dearborn Heights wound up in court after police say they caught him selling to someone who didn't have a card. And he admitted in court, yes, he knew he was selling to someone who wasn't a patient. That's not helping the cause, is it?
Absolutely. I mean, right now, what's legal under the law, it's a patient caregiver system. The question is, how do we make sure that all this marijuana that's being grown doesn't end up back on the black market and isn't being distributed to kids, to people who, you know, are not registered or qualified patients? And I think anytime you have a system like this, there's very little doubt that sometimes there's always going to be leaks. There's always going to be problems that lead to concerns from law enforcement.
I'm speaking with Michigan Public Radio Lansing reporter Jake Neer as we look at what is going on in the movement to legalize cannabis in Michigan. And there are many people voicing concerns about legalizing and others who say, well, hey, Colorado has had it legal now for a couple of years. Other states are following. It is time for Michigan to get in on this. Give us the main arguments for and against and kind of a sense of who's on each side.
We're talking incarceration on a large scale right now of people who are found and charged with marijuana crimes. There are a lot of people who say, look, this is a substance that is less dangerous than alcohol. It's certainly less dangerous than heroin or cocaine. But we're enforcing it as a Schedule I narcotic, which means you get caught with this, you can be arrested and thrown behind bars for a felony. And that so many people in our society are using marijuana, whether it's legal or not. Let's go ahead and try to cut back on this thing that's causing our criminal justice system to incur large expenses, especially when it comes to protecting patients, people who are using this medically, that clearly our medical marijuana law isn't working the way we'd hoped. Let's do this so that we can have those protections for people that really need it. Of course, the big arguments against are sort of what we touched on already, that a lot of people believe this is a gateway drug. I think a lot of law enforcement officials say that we believe that this is leading to heavier drugs, more crime, that sort of thing, making sure that this stays away from kids, which all the proposals to legalize would be 21 and over. So it would still be illegal, obviously, for children, minors to have this. But we want to have all the tools as law enforcement officials to make sure that we can prosecute, that we can make sure that this stuff is off of our streets.
And one of the arguments for, I'm sure, is the fact we're looking at Colorado State Treasury benefiting from that 25% tax on recreational cannabis sales that voters approved in November 2013. And we on the show talked with State Senator Brandon Dillon. He wants to tie legalizing and taxing marijuana to our road funding problems. How much traction is that idea getting around the state?
Yeah, pot for potholes.
Pot for potholes.
That was something that Representative Mike Calton, a Republican, originally was proposing, I believe, last legislative session, and not a lot of traction in the legislature in terms of getting a bill passed, because marijuana has been, no pun intended, a toxic issue in the legislature, and it's been very difficult to find the support to do anything like this, especially full legalization. But I think you're right. I mean, the MI Legalize, which is the grassroots activist group here on marijuana legalization, tie part of the revenue into road funding directly. Of course, this is a huge issue in the state right now. It will be interesting to see if the legislature does finally pass something on roads, whether or not that will still be an advantage for that group specifically. But overall, I mean, a lot of people are estimating hundreds of millions of dollars a year in revenue, at least $100 million. It's so hard to figure out exactly what it would be because there are no states as big as Michigan, population-wise, that now have legalized marijuana.
Let's look at these groups that are working on getting proposals to legalize on the 2016 ballot. Two groups have already won the okay from the State Board of Canvassers to start circulating petitions. You mentioned My Legalize, the Michigan Comprehensive Cannabis Law Reform Committee. Now, these are the activists and attorneys. Is this more the grassroots group?
Yes. These are the people. A lot of these people were the same ones who originally were behind the passage of the Medical Marijuana Act here in Michigan. They've been involved in this issue for a long time. A lot of people who show up to the meetings to add conditions to the Medical Marijuana Act. A lot of people who are at the Capitol when you're talking about these pieces of legislation I was talking about. And that group would legalize marijuana for everyone 21 years of age and older. And it would also provide for the sale and distribution of marijuana as well. I believe people could grow up to 12 plants personally, which is now the maximum allowable for patients under the Medical Marijuana Act. And they would also add protections for patients and caregivers. Not only would they hold harmless, to use that kind of jargon, the Medical Marijuana Act, they would also add these protections for provisioning centers for people who want to use non-smokable forms of marijuana, that
sort
of thing.
To help clear up these ambiguities and these murky aspects of the existing law.
And it would basically leave up everything to the voters, that their entire proposal, it's all spelled out in that act, which is kind of funny when you see these petition circulators. They had to add a fold over in their petition circulation so that people could read the whole proposal because it's that long. So they would spell out every single aspect of how this would be regulated, how this would be taxed, how the system would work.
They're doing what they can't get the state House and Senate to do.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. You hit the nail on the head there. Like I said, the revenue sources, it would go, I believe, to education, roads.
Then we have the Michigan Cannabis Coalition, MCC, and this is the Pontiac-based group, and they want to give lawmakers a role in the legalization process.
That's one of two major differences, I believe, between these two groups, that they would leave the taxation portion of this, they would leave a lot of the regulation portion of this to the legislature, which MI Legalize would say the legislature has been very non-responsive, so we're very worried about that. But at the same time, that also allows much more ability to adapt to how the environment changes for this law as things move forward, instead of going back and amending a petition-initiated law, which requires a supermajority of the legislature to pass, which rarely ever happens. Yeah. Lawmakers could go back and explore these issues as they would regularly do. And I believe that they would also work in conjunction with a marijuana panel, people that would be appointed to deal with these issues specifically, make recommendations to the legislature and so on.
And then there's a third group trying to get its own petition drive on, the Michigan Responsibility Council.
Yes. Originally, we knew some of what they were talking about. They wanted to create a system that would basically take over the entire wholesale market for marijuana distribution. It would be similar, as I'm reading it, to Michigan's alcohol distribution system, where there would be a group of essentially middlemen who control the flow of marijuana from the production of it to the sale of it. They would have 10 investors. And each investor would, I believe, control a portion of the wholesale market. It's sort of complicated, but essentially, it just means that people who invest in the petition drive would be able to get a cut of this new market that would be created, that they would control the flow of marijuana and money involved in it. It was very similar to what they're talking about in Ohio right now. There's a responsible Ohio ballot campaign, which would be a constitutional amendment there. We wouldn't have to do that here in Michigan. That would basically do the same thing. It would control the entire wholesale market. That has had a lot of problems. We've heard a lot of talk of investors dropping out of that one, that they turned in a lot of signatures, tens of thousands that were later deemed invalid by the state, so they had to go back and collect more signatures. I believe there's a fraud investigation right now. So MRC, this group, is going back to the drawing board as far as we know right now and trying to figure out maybe a different way to approach this, because I would assume that part of that is because this group in Ohio's had so many problems. So in the next couple weeks, I think we're expecting to hear some details. They're going to join the fold, and I'll have more to tell you at that point.
Yeah. Jake, I just have to ask, do you think these groups are helping or hurting the legalization cause by serving up different proposals? We know voters aren't really enamored with being hit with lots of proposals or long, complicated proposals. There's no way for them to combine forces instead of each trying to put their own spin on how to legalize cannabis?
I don't think that there's any chance of the MRC group, the wholesale group, and especially the MI Legalize group ever coming to terms, because they are so far apart. And there's actually some animus there, I think, between the two groups. There have been meetings, as far as I know, between MCC and MI Legalize to talk about the potential of coming together. The big problem with that is these groups, on a personality level, do not like each other. They are not fans of each other or their political, you know, leanings or their approach to this issue. I don't see these groups coming together because there's so much friction right now. And if you follow these groups on Twitter, sometimes you'll see public back and forth between these groups just sort of yelling at each other about how, you know, something that they're doing is stupid or, you know, all this kind of stuff. So I don't think there's much hope there at this point.
And you've got to wonder how that's going to play with the public as we move through the course of time to get to November 2016, if you've got people flinging mud and insults at each other, you just wonder what the person who's trying to make up their mind one way or the other is going to think.
Sure. That's a big issue going forward is if multiple groups make the ballot, what is their message campaign going to be to voters? Are they going to say, vote yes on everything? Because that doesn't necessarily hurt them, because if voters vote yes on everything, then they have a chance of getting over that 50% threshold. Of course, the group that gets the most yes votes is the one that would become law, but they have to weigh this because really the distinctions, I think, are hard to explain in a short soundbite. Which is great that we're having this discussion here because we can really lay out some of the big differences. But when you've got a 30-second spot on TV and you're trying to talk, well, you know, this group is about the wholesale marketing quarterly. This group is about they would only allow certain plants. We'd allow this many. I think you lose people pretty quick. The groups are probably better served going out and saying, well, here's the cost we can cut from our criminal justice system. Here is the revenue that we can bring in and stick to those things, which are probably true of all three groups. It's going to be very interesting to see what they say. Of course, MI Legalize says we can explain it. The MRC is the big business group and MCC is the big legislature group and we are the big people group. That's what they've been
saying.
We're
the grassroots people.
Yeah.
Yes.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
Again, yeah. So they think that they can control the messaging here, but it's going to be very interesting case study in politics to see what happens with these groups as things go on, especially if more than one make the ballot.
Jake Neer covers Lansing for the Michigan Public Radio Network. Thank you so much, Jake.
Thanks, Cindy.